Thank you for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website. It's strength4thejourney.com. This radio program is number 26. And if you're listening by shortwave radio, you can re-listen to the program on a button there called S4TJ Radio. And there's all the other programs that have been recorded are on there as well, that you can listen to those. We have a crusade that's coming up, and that's going to be the first part of July. We have a number of cities here in Panama that we're going to be going and doing outreaches out in the city squares. We'll be going actually out to the Comarca. It's a two-hour walk or hike into the Comarca, where the native Indians live here, the Nobe Indians, and we're going to have a chance opportunity to minister there. So we're really excited about the opportunities that God is opening up here in Panama. A friend of mine is going to be coming in from the United States with about 6,000 tracks, and these are awesome tracks. They have pictures and stories, and we're going to give them out to the kids. And we're just really excited about the opportunity to reach the lost. You know, there's a hunger that God puts in us when he finally gets a hold of our heart and we allow him to come into our life. His life begins to live in us. And he said that he had come to seek and save that which was lost. When we get found, we have a desire to find. I had a word the Lord gave me here the other morning when I woke up, and this was the word: how can the lost save the lost? Only the found can find the lost. Only those with my love have a heart to find the lost. It's my love that compels them. It's my love that motivates and inspires. When you are found, you are compelled to find. I live within my believers. They live to fulfill my desires. The devil lives within his believers, living to fulfill his desires. Those desires, whose desires are you fulfilling? You may think your desires originate from yourself, but you are only a vessel to fulfill the desire and purpose of one of two kingdoms. You are the servant to whom you obey. Whose desires are you the servant of? If you desire to be my servant, take delight in me, and I will give you the desires of my heart. I will give you my heart and my passion, but you must seek me with all of your heart. If you will seek me with all of your heart, I will be found, and you as well. And I know that the Lord is crying out for laborers in the vineyard right now. He's crying out for those who will go out and do what he commanded those believers back in Mark chapter 16. He gave power to his believers to go out and be a witness. And he said that these signs shall follow them that believe. If we have a heart for God, we're going to have his heart. And so I just encourage you that if you have God, the Lord living in you, then let his passions live in you as well. And go out and reach those that don't know him. There's a lost and dying world out there. There are very few that have a passion to reach the lost right now. We're so consumed in our day-to-day living and things that we want to do that we don't even give a second chance or second thought to think about, what does God want me to do today? And I know that as the Lord begins to make changes in our life and turn our heart toward him, that these desires that are his will live inside of us too. Jesus said in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." And in Luke 9, chapter 56, it says, "For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." You know, I didn't become a Christian until I was 29 years old because I thought I had to get my life cleaned up first before he could come into my life. And of course, that never happened. My life just kept getting messier and messier. When I finally decided that I knew I needed the Lord in my life, it's like I asked Him to come into my life. It's like when I did, it was like He was at the front door, and His holy presence made me feel like a piece of dirt under a magnifying glass. He spoke something to my heart that just kind of just melted me, but I expected a big, long, bony finger to point out all of my sins. And in that state where I just felt like a piece of dirt under a magnifying glass, the Lord spoke to me and He said, "I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to help you." When He said those words to my heart, I just said, "Well, come on in." I kind of figured I had to get my life cleaned up. But when I invited Him into my life, I felt terrible still, because here is holy presence with mine, my filth. And He just kind of put it on my heart, "Well, how would you clean up your house?" And I guess I said, "Well, I guess I go to one room, clean it up, and go to the next." He said, "That's all you can do with your life. Just begin with one room and don't leave it until you finish it." So I was just began to go to one room after another. And I realized that God was just taking me step by step, that it's not going to be one of those snap your fingers and everything was going to be just everything perfect. And so as I began to go through my life and began to examine areas in my life that I knew weren't obedient to Him, that He began to just clean the clutter. And this is what He wants to do in each one of our lives, that He wants to come into our life, but we have to give Him access. He says He stands at the door and knocks. If any man opens the door, that he will come in and sup with him. You've seen pictures of the door where there's no doorknob on the outside. That he's knocking on this door, but there's no doorknob on the outside. And there's all sorts of vines that have grown up around this door because it hasn't been opened in so long. But the doorknob's on the inside, and we have to open the door from the inside. We have to invite Him in. But He's not there to condemn us. He's there to help us. He wants to make a difference, but we have to let Him in. You know, there's so many places in the Bible where it says, "Let," allow this mind that is in Christ to be in us, that we need to let Him do a work in our life and do a work in our heart. And this is what He wants to do, but we have to be obedient and allow Him. And this is a part where we have to humble ourselves, because pride won't let Him. Pride wants to say, "That's okay, I can do things just fine by myself. I don't need you." But we have to realize that we can do nothing. The Bible says that without Him, we can do nothing. And so if we can do nothing without Him, that means also on the other side, we can do everything with Him. That's why Paul said that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, is because He's now on the inside strengthening us to do all things. You know, there's a big distinction between what we're to put off and what we're to put on. That in Romans chapter 13:12, it says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." That we have to put off the old man, that we have to put off the things that we used to do, that there is a distinction, there's a line being drawn in our lives, that if we want to follow the Lord, that we have to put off the old things. In Colossians 3:8, it says, "But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of our mouth." So these are the things that we have to do. And then in verse 9, it says, "Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds." So there's an old man that has to be essentially kind of put in the grave, and there's a new man that arises. It's like the death of the old man is the initiation of the life of a new man, that one has to go to the grave before the new man can arise, just like the caterpillar has to go into the cocoon before the butterfly can be created and formed. And there's many places in the Bible also that talks about what we need to put on. In Romans chapter 13, verse 14, it says, "But but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That there is a putting on just as much as there is a putting off. That we have to put off the deeds of the flesh. That we don't want to make provision. In other words, we don't want to give food for the flesh, because the enemy, if you look back in Genesis, it says that when Satan, the serpent, was judged in the garden, it says, "In dust shall you eat all the days of your life." And if you realize that flesh is made from dust, that this is the flesh, is the realm that Satan operates in. This is the realm that he looks for food. He wants to eat our flesh. So we can't give him provision to this flesh. So when we give provision to the flesh, we give him a meal, essentially. In John, 1 John says, "All that's in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life." These are essentially the downfall of man is in these three categories. And if you look back even in the garden, when man fell in the garden, that the food was pleasant to the eyes, it was good for food, and it was make one wise. It filled all three of those categories. So these are the areas that the enemy uses to cause our downfall. And if we don't give him those places, that we will not give him provision, and we won't fail. We're going to listen to a song here in just a moment here. It's by Hillsong. I think you'll enjoy it. It's called "With All I Am." will you worship him? Worship comes from two words. It comes from a word, worth and ship. So it's actually two words put together, worth ship. So when you are worshiping the Lord, it's actually an act of affirming God's worth. It's not boasting God's self-esteem. It's not mere flattery or appeasement, but it is a declaration that God is worthy. Worthy worship actually declares how worthy God is to be praised. It's not about banking, playing games. It's not just singing songs. It's actually comes from our heart, that when we actually worship the Lord, it's actually showing him honor. It's showing him praise. It's showing him the honor that's due to him. It's living our life in such a way that we honor him. It's not just worship like you're going to go and just sing a little song and you're worshiping him. When we actually enter into worship, it's something that's genuine. It's not something that's just a phony. It's not duplicity. It's sincerity that, Lord, I really do honor you. I really do worship you with my life, with my heart. There's a scripture in Matthew, verse 15:8, and Jesus said, "This people draws nigh unto me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Our true worship comes from our heart. It comes because we are really mean what we're saying, that we do honor him and put him first. You know, God's not looking for to play second place with anybody. He's not looking to play second place with the world, our stuff. He's looking to find a first place in our heart. I didn't really understand how much he wants that first place until we sold everything here 2 years ago. Out of obedience, we left America and came to a foreign land, and we didn't understand what God was doing, but we knew that he put a call to leave everything and go, and we just left in obedience. And in this place of desperation, God began to put me where I needed to be, which is in a place of dependence upon him. And I didn't realize how badly I needed him until I needed him so bad. And I think this is what all of us need, where we all need to get, is where we really do need him. And when Jesus gave requirements to become a follower of his, in the Gospel of Luke, he said that if you love anybody more than me, you can't be my disciple. If you can't leave your stuff, you can't forsake all, you can't be my disciple. And really what happens when, just like the disciples, when they left all to follow him, it made them dependent upon the Lord, that they needed him. They didn't have their business to depend upon any longer. They didn't go. The only time I can see when Jesus told Peter that they need some money for taxes to go cast a hook out in the water, and he was going to catch a fish, and he was going to have a coin in his mouth to pay the taxes. But this is, Jesus wants us to get to a place, not that we're irresponsible, but that we're just obedient, that if we all do what he says, that everything works out. And this is one thing that I have found, that we have to learn, first of all, how to know what's him speaking to us, because the enemy is out there trying to deceive us, and we have to determine whether this is really God speaking to us. And I found many times that I didn't really know it was God speaking to me until I obeyed. And had I not obeyed what I thought was him, I would never have found that it was really him speaking to me. And this is kind of a tough place a lot of us get into, is like, well, is this really God? Boy, it sounds really like a hard word. Well, many times it is. Many times it is not an easy word to receive. But this is where we have to really discern the voice of the enemy. And like we talked about on the last program, that we can't really be sure that it's God speaking to us until we eliminate what we know isn't the voice of God in our life. And this is where we all need to get to a place in our life where we hunger for the truth, like a man desperate for his next breath of air. And if we will get to that place where we hunger for him, like he's all that we need and all that we can have, and when we realize that only he has the words of truth, that he is to be found, that when we search for him with all of our heart. So this is a place God wants us to be. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says that to be careful for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. This is something I found that's so important for us to find a place of thanksgiving. Be thankful in our hearts. If we have things that we need, if we have requests that we want from God, that we need to be thankful in our heart. Are we thankful for what he's already done for us? Are we thankful that we're even alive, that we can take our next breath of air? Many of us have a lot of hard things that have happened to us in our past, and there's rough edges, our hearts have become hardened. And I have found that when we can find something to be thankful in the midst of our storms, in the midst of our trials, that it does something to our heart. And God wants us to get to a place where our heart becomes soft to him, that it's soft to his voice, that it's not bitter and resentful. One of the things that thankfulness does is that it actually tenderizes our heart, that we're thankful and that we are looking forward to whatever else God has for us because we've already thankful for what he's done. If we will find that place of thankfulness, that God will do some amazing things in our life, that we will find a peace, that there are many times we don't have peace because we're nervous about the future, that we've forgotten all the times that God has brought us through some of the most amazing things. I can think many times in my life when I look back that I should have died before I was born. Many times when I was young, I came very, very close to death, but I knew that God had a plan for my life because I knew I would have been dead. And when I began to really find a place of thankfulness, that I really examined how many times that if not God had brought me through certain situations, it gave me the ability to realize that he could take me through other things in the future because of what he's done in my past. You know, there's this one scripture that I think about that, you know, if we're trying to really discern God's voice, that we need to think on the things that are good. And that scripture in Philippians, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, of just, pure, lovely, of good report, to think on these things. And if we will begin to think on the things that are right and righteous and good, it says that the God of peace will be with us. We need the God of peace with us because the world is turning upside down right now. There's every day you look in the news, we have more problems going on in the Middle East or confrontations with other nations. It's not going to get better. It's actually going to get harder and worse. And we're going to need to find a place of peace in the midst of trials and storms. The dollar may not always be the world reserve currency. And what will happen if that day does come and we don't have the things that we normally take for granted, the just food and fuel in our car? Are we going to be ready for the challenges that come our way? Have we really taken a lot of things for granted in our life? Are we really thankful for what we've already been given? You know, where I was from in America, that we had so much given. We were unbelievably blessed with just about anything and everything you can imagine. Every opportunity was there. And you can kind of just watch things are changing. It may not always be the way that it's always been. And the question is, are we ready for the challenges? Are we ready? Will Jesus be the peace in the midst of the storm? Are we know that our hearts right with Him? Have we been obedient to do what He said to do? Because part of the problem about being disobedient is that we don't have confidence toward God, that we don't have a full assurance that we know that He's going to be there because we have not done what He said to do. So this is a very trying time in all of our lives coming up. And the only way that we'll know that we have confidence toward Him is if we're doing those things that are pleasing in His sight. So I encourage you, if there are things that are going on in your life right now that you know are not pleasing to God, that the first thing to do is to repent, to allow God to change your heart and allow Him to come in and do a work. Because the doorknob is on the inside of your heart. But if you will open the door and allow Him to come in, it says that He will come in and sup with you and you with Him, that He wants to have fellowship with us. But we have to be willing to allow Him in to do what only He can do. Thank you so much for joining us again on Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength4thejourney.com. And we'll see you next time.